Roddy. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. Amen. At least you're awake for now. Give me a few minutes. I'll put you back to sleep here. I didn't bring my phone in here, but it made it to my watch somehow. My phone's all the way down in the other end. But some people texted me, said, give us a shout out. But I don't do that. It's against my religion. Now, shout out to all my former students and current students. I don't have any favorites. It's just like your children. You love them all the same. Anyway. Oh, I heard that. Anyway, Jeremiah 44. If you didn't hear that while ago while you were making all that noise, Jeremiah 44. I should have just texted to everybody ahead of time because some of you won't even find it by the end of chapel. Jeremiah 44. It is going to be a little while before we get to that passage, so you can just keep looking during the first part of the message if you haven't found it. Jeremiah 44. You ever had a bad day? Yeah. I don't have them very often, just like, Monday through Friday. And the weekends. But other than that, life's pretty good. But I do remember a particular day. Years ago, I was I'd already graduated from college. I was working at Hammond Baptist High School. And I got involved in the Fisherman's Club with Brother Roy Moffitt at the church, soul winning group. If you don't know what that is, we just went out fishing all the time. No, we were fishing for men. But in that meeting every Saturday morning, we'd have a little breakfast there, and people share testimonies. And most all of us had a partner, a regular partner that we would go out soul winning with. And that particular Saturday, my soul winning partner was not there. And I was kind of disappointing because, everybody else has their partner, and that means you kind of got to go out by yourself, and it's a little more difficult. It's a lot more encouraging when you have someone going out soul winning with you. But I thought, the Lord will help me. The Lord will be my soul winning partner. And also, when back then, Brother Moffitt had some promotions, like if you led a soul to the Lord, he had a box of ties, and you would get a tie. And, man, I got thousands of ties. It was just unbelievable. When they weren't looking, I grabbed a whole box of them. But I'd earned a tie that particular week. And so I went out and picked up my tie, and they dismissed the meeting. So I was heading to my car, and I said, I'm going to wear this tie today. So I was putting it on. And when I got it on, I realized it was a boy's tie. And it was like this. Man, this day's not starting out too well because my soul winning partner's not here. Then I got this dumb tie that doesn't even fit me. I can't even use it. And I thought, wow, okay, well, Lord, help me, I'm going to go out somewhere. I went out soul winning in East Chicago, and I remember I went down one block, a long block, and knocked on every door on that block. Nobody came, nobody answered the door. Came across the other side, went all the way down the block, all the way to the very end, nobody answered the door until the very last house. There was a teenage boy sitting on the front porch. I thought, finally, thank you, Lord. And so I got out my Bible, I started witnessing to him. We're going through the plan of salvation. We were getting ready to pray. And somebody inside the house called his name, and he said, I'll be right back. Oh, Lord, the devil's, man, I tell you what. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. He never came back. And, boy, I was like, man, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, my soul winning partner's not here. I got a stupid little tie. Nobody out to talk to. And then I finally get to talk to one guy, and he leaves right when I'm getting ready to lead him to the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is a bad day. And, boy, I was just complaining. So I was heading home, and I thought, I need to wash my car today. So I don't know if you remember, there used to be a place called Spot Knot Car Wash. I don't know if you guys remember that. And it had a little thing you could drive through, so you could drive through the wash, or it had those bays where you could do it yourself. Well, the line was really, really long, and I thought, I'm not going to wait for that dumb line. And it's half the price to do it here at the bay. So I went to that thing, put my money in. You know how you do. You put the soap all around. Then you switch it over to rinse. Got about halfway around. Seriously? So I had half my car rinsed, half of it had soap all over it. So I had to put in the same amount of money again just to rinse the half of my car. And then it equaled the same price as it does when you do the drive-through thing. And by then, everybody was already through the drive-through part. What in the world? This day is getting worse and worse. And so anyway, I drove on home and I needed to change the oil in my car. And it wasn't a brand new car, but it was new to me. And it was the first time I'd ever changed oil in that particular car. So I have some little ramps that I drive my car up on to get it off the ground so you can get underneath it to do the oil change. And as I was trying to get on the ramps, it wouldn't go up. And I realized this car sat down lower than my other car, and it wouldn't go up on the ramps. So I thought, man, I got to climb under this thing. I had a gravel driveway in my house at the time, and there was hardly any space. So I was all the gravel sticking in my back. And if you've never changed oil, I'm sure most of you ladies have changed oil in the car, but in case you never have, you have to take the plug out of the oil pan so the oil will drain. You have a little pan there that the oil drains into, and you drain all the oil out. And then there's an oil filter that you have to take off, and a lot of them are underneath, but this one was, you can only access it from above. So I got my little filter wrench to take after I drained the oil pan, I got my little filter wrench to take the oil filter off, and it didn't fit. It fit my other car, but it didn't fit the filter in this one. The filter was too big. So I could only get down to there with one hand, and I was turning with all my might, and I could not get it off. It was stuck on there. I thought, man, I got to get that off. Then I'd heard one time that you can get a long screwdriver and drive it through the filter and use that to get leverage. I said, I'm going to try that. So I drove the thing through there, and when I did, my hand slipped, and I cut my knuckles on the motor there. So I had oil and blood all over me here. I think, man, what in the world? And then oil went everywhere. I mean, it was just leaking out the side of that filter. And I did get it off, but I thought, man. And then I pulled the screwdriver out, and it slipped on my hand. It went all the way through down and landed in the pan of oil underneath the car. Hot motor oil. I thought, Lord, this is the worst day of my life. It normally takes about 20 minutes maybe to change oil. It took me like an hour. And about halfway through the change of oil, it started raining. So much for my car wash. And I thought, Lord, this has got to be like the worst day I've ever had. Job had it easy. Lucky guy. So I went in the house, and it was dark by then. And my favorite psalm is Psalm 34. Whenever I need comfort, I always go to Psalm 34. I love that psalm. And I have several Bibles laying around the house in case the pastor comes by or something. But so I picked up one of the Bibles, and I opened it up to Psalm 34. You're not going to believe this, but the page was missing. I promise it was missing. And then my wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And I shouldn't say that. Now, that didn't happen, but everything else happened. And at that point, I just said, okay, Lord, you're good regardless of what kind of day I'm having. But I want to talk about the subject today, when you're having a bad day. Let's pray. Lord, please help me now as I speak on this topic. Lord, we all have bad days. Lord, the way we handle those days is very important. And I pray that you'll use me today, Lord, to encourage and help someone today, please. Amen. Now, so what do you do when you have a bad day? When things are going wrong? The first thing I do is I ask God, Lord, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? And truth of the matter is, usually I don't even have to ask that. When something's going bad, if I'm doing something wrong and I haven't confessed it, it comes to my mind right away. I said, okay, Lord. Now, if God brings something to your mind, confess it. You say, well, I've already confessed it. Okay, then just accept your punishment. Except God's chastening. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Don't complain about it. Lamentations 3:39 says, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So realize that God's doing that out of love on you. And by the way, when God has to chasten you, you ought to really feel love then. Because that means, number one, God loves you, because he only chastens his children, and it means that God hasn't given up on you. So we ought to be, I'm not saying I'm glad when I'm chastened, but I do feel love when I'm chastened, because That's what God's doing. However, you say, well, I don't think it's because of sin, this problem, or my bad day. Then what? Okay, I'm going to give you some things to keep in mind. Here you're trying to do right, you're going to college, but you're having a bad day, and things aren't going right. What are some things to keep in mind? The first thing is this: discouragement isn't necessarily all bad. Say, wait a minute, what is good about discouragement? Well, I'm going to tell you. Discouragement actually is a sign that you care. Let me ask something. Here's two boys, they're in high school, and one of the boys, he wants to try out for the basketball team. And so that's his dream, to make the basketball team. And he's been working at it all summer long. I mean, hours and hours. He's had a special diet, not taking ice cream and pizza, maybe the things he enjoys, just so he can get in good shape so he can make the team in it. And he's just been, that's his dream. And here comes the day of tryouts. And he's all pumped, man, I'm gonna do this. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait. And I've worked so hard for this moment. Here's another guy. And he's sitting kind of up in the bleachers at tryouts. He's there every day waiting for his mom. His mom works late, so he's there about an hour or so after. Dang it, he's just sitting there playing video games every day. And all of a sudden, he sees everybody out there getting ready to go to tryouts. He thought, you know, I've been playing video games every day. I'm going to do something different. I'm just going to go out there and try out for the basketball team. You know, better than just sitting here. So he goes out and he tries out for the basketball team. All right? Now, neither one of them make it. Let me ask you something. Who's going to be the most discouraged? The guy who wanted it, right? The other guy's going to go, oh, well, that was fun. Okay, oh, my mom's here. He's going to take off. No big deal. So actually, when you're discouraged, you ought to be encouraged about that, because that's a sign that you care. If you didn't care, it wouldn't bother you. So discouragement isn't necessarily a bad thing. Now, don't stay discouraged, okay? You know, 3 weeks later, you're still discouraged. Okay, that's a problem. But it is a normal thing. Now, we're going to get to Jeremiah 44. Have you found it yet? I see some of you still looking there. I see Jacqueline over there still looking for it. And, all right. Jeremiah 44, verse 16. 44, 16. This is the people of Israel speaking to Jeremiah, the prophet. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. As we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Now here's their reasoning for them doing that. For then, back when they were worshiping the queen of heaven, we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. He said, when we were worshiping this queen of heaven, everything was going great. But since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted or lacked all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. It's interesting. You know, we tend to equate God's favor by how good our day is going. That's what they did. You know, God must be upset at me. God's not very good. Look at all these bad things that are happening to me. And by the same token, sometimes we say, boy, everything is going great. God must love me. Good. Not necessarily. There are wicked people that things are going well for them. So you can't always judge by that. But so often we judge whether or not God is with us, how things are going. You may say, boy, back before I came to college, everything was going great. And I came to college, like, everything's falling apart. It's like, so many things are going wrong. You know, my car was running great before I came to college. Now, it's just sitting out there on blocks. You know, I had plenty of money before I came. Now, I'm broke. Can I get an amen? So we tend to equate God's favor by how good our day is going. Next point, number three, we forget that the all things of Romans 8:28 is mainly talking about bad things. I love Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But when it says all things, God is implying there the bad things. Because we can, when everything's going well, we don't have to say, oh man, oh, things are going to work together for good. No, you don't say that then. You say it when everything's going wrong, right? Okay, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. So that verse, we forget sometimes that the all things in Romans 8:28 is talking about bad things. Number four, another thing to consider when you're having a bad day. We can't please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And faith is mainly manifested during bad times. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith when everything is going well, you're having a great day to say, man, God's good. And He is, and you ought to say it then. I'm not saying don't say it then. You ought to say that then. If you're having a good day, give God credit. He's the one that helped you. But it's a little more difficult to say when things are going terrible and your day's falling apart to say, well, God's good. If we do, we kind of say it like, God's good. But He is good, no matter what kind of day we're having. Number five, bad days will either produce bitterness and depression or joy and strength, depending on how we react. What do you do when things are going wrong for you? God, what are you trying to do to me? Yeah, I'm trying to serve you. And this is all I get. Now, I'll be honest with you. When bad things happen to me, my first reaction sometimes is, oh, Lord, what's going on? But I try not to stay there very long. 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm over it. No, I try to real quick to say, okay, God. And I don't wait till I feel good about it. I just, while I'm still feeling bad, I say, okay, God, you don't make mistakes. You're always good. And I'm not, you know. And sometimes, and how often this has happened to me, something looks like something bad was going to happen. I go, oh, man. And then it turned out okay. And I think, oh, Lord, my faith is so weak. Goodness. You know, every time something like that happens, ah. And then it turns out, okay, oh, Lord, what an idiot. What a loser. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about me. I was looking around at some of you that I know, and that's what made me think about that. But we eventually ought to be saying, God, you never make a mistake. And I'm talking about while you're still trying to figure it out, there's no answer. You're confused. You may have tears in your eyes. But you say, God, you never make a mistake. You're always good. Now you got to help me because I'm having a tough time with this one. That's not bad. And that's really what faith is. Faith is when things are going wrong and you don't see the answer and there's no hope in sight. You say, God, you're good. I don't know how, but you are. That's faith. And that's what pleases God. Number six, our bad days provide us with a greater ability to help others with their bad days. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, talking about the Lord, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You want to know when your bad days will seem worthwhile? When you help somebody else with the same problem that you had and you didn't quit and God got you through it and now you can help somebody else with it. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to have doubts about my salvation, and I thought, I'm never going to get this settled. And it used to worry me and bother me. And I was just, you know, Lord, God, I can't get this settled. Lord, help me. I just thought I was always going to have to go through the rest of my life not being sure and find out the day I die, which is kind of late. But I remember the day I got the assurance of my salvation. It was actually here at Howells Anderson College when I was a freshman. And well, what a great day that was for me. And still, I wonder, Lord, why did it take all the way to become a college student to get that settled? I mean, all those years of just worrying and wondering. When I started teaching in high school, I would talk about salvation, different things, and assurance of salvation. I remember when the first student came to me after class and said, Mr. Hill, you talked about you weren't sure about your salvation. I'm having doubts about my salvation. Can you help me? And I said, sure. I said, let me ask you, have you ever felt this way? Yeah. And do you think about this sometimes? Yeah, I do. All I was doing was just reliving what I thought. And they're sitting there, wow, yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Here's what you need to do. And many, many students, I gave assurance of salvation from the Word of God. Why? Because I went through that. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have been as sensitive to that. I probably wouldn't have mentioned it in class. But boy, your problems are going to be worthwhile when you help someone else with that problem. Now, if you get mad at God or if you quit and say, that's it, that's all I can take, I'm not doing this anymore, then you're going to miss those opportunities. But our bad days provide us with a greater ability to help others with their bad days. And that's only going to happen if you just trust God and keep going. Number 7, sometimes God allows bad days to test us and prepare us for greater things down the road. You know, college days are preparation days. If you spend your days here whining and complaining about how tough you have it, you know, God may just look at you one day and say, you know, they can't take this. They're not going to make it in the ministry. Just let them go back home to mom and dad. I'll find somebody else. Is that what you want God to say about you? I don't. Lamentations chapter 3. Let's look at that. It's close to Jeremiah. I'm helping you out here. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 26. Lamentations chapter 3. I love chapter 3 of Lamentations. There's a lot in that chapter. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he, God, hath borne it upon him. Now, when we're going through difficulty, we don't say, this is good. Boy, this is good. Yeah, well, I like this. This is good. This is helping me. No, that's the last thing we think of. But God says it's good that you go through tough times. And that's part of what college is. Now, some of you may have had it tough before you came to college. But most of us, when I came to college, man, I had it made before I came to college. And my dad had a good job. I lived on a farm. Had a motorcycle. Had guns to kill people with. No. Hunt dangerous animals like sparrows and other things. Shot lots of groundhogs in my day. But, I mean, I had everything I wanted. I had an easy life. Now, I worked hard. My last, 1 year my parents decided to grow tomatoes. Have you ever grown tomatoes? How many like tomatoes? How many don't like tomatoes? How many like to throw tomatoes? Okay, anyway. Don't do that now, please. But they decided to have 8,000 tomato plants. Okay, that's a long row. In fact, it's a lot of rows. And so we grew tomatoes to sell to the market. We would take truckload to the market. That's a lot of work. And by the way, we did have tomato fights. That was pretty cool. But, and with that money, I bought my first car. It was a 74 Camaro. And it was the best Hot Wheels I'd ever had. Hot Wheels are cool. You can make your own engine horse. Oh, that reminds me. This is off track here. But this is a true story. A man was preaching in the pulpit, and his little boy was sitting on like the second row from the front, and he had a little car, and he was driving it across the top of the seat in front of him. He went, and his dad said, son, stop that. He goes, and anyway, I like that. True story. I like that kid. But God says it's good to have it tough while you're young. You know, some of you, you call your mom, how's it going? Oh, my little baby, just come on home. Okay. Or just send me a giant care package. My mom sent some good care packages. But I had to hide them from my roommates or they would mob me. No, I share it with my roommates. I gave them the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Sorry, that's a little further from Jeremiah. Sorry. I'll give you to Friday to find that one. 2 Chronicles 32. I'll help you out a little bit. Right after 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32. This passage is talking about the king Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. 2 Chronicles 32, 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him, that's Hezekiah, to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. Notice this next phrase. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. You feel like God's left you sometimes? Where is God? I'm at a Christian college, and man, it's like God's left me. I read the Bible, and it's like nothing. What's going on? Things are going bad. What's going on? God, where are you? You're not speaking to me. You don't seem to be helping me. God may just be seeing what, if you really trust him. It's just like when God said to the devil when he was talking about Job. Satan said to the Lord, yeah, he's only serving you. Look how you're blessing him. Of course he's. Take some of those things away from him, see what he does. And God says, okay, let's do it. I may be doing that with you. That's one way to find out what's in your heart. When things are going good, you don't really know what's in your heart. When things are going really, really bad, that's you. That's when you discover who you are. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. First Peter, turn there. Now we're going to jump all the way over to the New Testament. I feel bad in the Bible college asking you to turn to different scriptures on that. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm finding these real quick. Of course, they're all written down in my notes. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But what's the next word? Rejoice. Insomuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, read the rest of that, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, there's some good things coming. Right now, it may be a fiery trial. Right now, you may think, what's going on? Right now, you may think, God, where are you? But if you will trust him and keep doing what you know to do, eventually there's going to be some exceeding joy. Last point. Looking back, and I'm talking about my life here, the days that have brought me much joy now were the bad ones. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the good days. I have lots of good memories of good things that have happened, and I praise God for the good days. But the days that have made me the happy person I am today, that have given me the opportunities and the blessings that I have today were the bad days. The days that I didn't understand. The days that I said, God, what are you doing? God, why? I don't know if I could take this, God. I'm not going to get into any details, but probably the worst year of my life was 2003. Some of you were born that year. That's why it was the worst year of my life. And I hate your parents were doing it anyway. But it was probably the most difficult year of my life. A lot of things happened that were really, really tough for me. And again, I won't get into it, but I to this day, I remember that as being one of the toughest years of my life. Some of you may know this, some of you may not know this, but there's a song called I Prayed for Thee. And that's a song that God helped me write. And you want to guess what year it was written? 2003. We just need to trust God. College life is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. But you will either get discouraged and quit and say, I can't take this anymore. I'm going home. It's a lot better back there. Or you're going to say, God, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to make it. And I've said this before, I think, in another chapel service. But when I was a freshman, I was very discouraged. I was so homesick. My first day as a freshman, this was back when we had a chariot lot instead of car lot. But I was at Baptist City. And I was on the top bunk in one of the dorms over there. The first morning that I woke up from being a college student, I jumped off my bed and landed in water like that deep. What in the world? You know, what did I get myself into here? Man, welcome to Hiles Anderson College. And well, just as the year went on, and I was just so discouraged. I was so homesick. I said, Lord, I don't want to do anything but quit. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to eat right now. I don't want to do anything. I just want to quit. That's all I want to do. I'm going to go back home. That's the only thing. The only desire I have is to go back home. And I said, God, but if I do that, I'm going to be sorry. And I know it's not the right thing to do. So I said, God, I promise you, I'm going to graduate from Hiles Anderson College. I was still discouraged. All it was something saying, yeah, whoa, you know, light shining, angels singing. No, I was still discouraged. I still wanted to quit. But I said, God, I promise you, I'm not going to. And it lasted for a while. I mean, I was days and days of, God, I just want to go home, but I'm not going to quit because I just made you a promise. I'm not going to do that. And I graduated from Hiles Anderson College last year. Took a while, but I've kept my commitment. What are you going to do? You having a bad day? Not today. There's some days coming. What are you going to do? Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. We all have bad days. God, it'd be nice if we didn't have bad days, but Lord, that's not your plan. God, bad days, bad things, bad events happen to all of us. And God, when those days come, Lord, we have a choice. We can complain and whine and say it's not worth it. This is too hard. This is not what I bargained for. This is not what I expected. I'm going back home where it was a lot better. We can do that. Or we can say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to make it, Lord, and you're going to help me, and I'm not going to quit, God, and I'm going to be glad someday. I'm not glad right now, but I'm going to be someday. Lord, please, please help us to realize that there's a great, exceeding joy waiting for everyone in this room if they will just not give up and trust you.